Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. People of the United States have long looked to the U.S. Supreme Court for truthful and authoritative decisions concerning the law of our land. Unlike lawmaking by popular opinion polls, this highest court is not to be bound by societal pressure or influenced by media hype. In spite of the fact that this court enjoys significant autonomy from the politically charged legislative and executive branches of the United States government, two recent decisions demonstrate that at times the court bows to societal pressure, while other times it stands against it. On one hand, the court recently struck down the validity of state partial birth abortion laws, but on the other hand, upheld the right of private organizations like the Boy Scouts of America to ban homosexuals from the ranks of its leaders. As much as we respect this high court of our land, people of Christ Church realize that this court is not the final authority on all matters. We have long looked to our pastors, especially our pastors speaking from the pulpit, to hear the ultimate, truthful, and authoritative Word of God. Sadly, in spite of the fact that the Bible may rest on the book rest while the pastor is preaching, there are too many occasions where pastors speak their own flawed human wisdom, largely influenced by our corrupted cultural norms, and sometimes even in clear conflict with the Word of God. When Christian pastors espouse that faith in Christ is not the only way of salvation, when they bless homosexual unions, and when they preach funeral sermons that ignore the fact that death is the result of our sinful rebellion, then people will certainly doubt whether pastors truly speak the ultimate and authoritative Word of God. The book of Ezekiel vividly depicts for us the congruence that should exist between the Lord and His messenger, between the word of the Lord and the word of His prophet. Yahweh is very concerned that all who hear Ezekiel, as we see it in this book, were hearing the Lord's words, the Lord's truth, the Lord's message for Israel at that time in her history. This principle is portrayed very powerfully in the earlier part of chapter 3, before the text that was read, where Ezekiel beholds the glory of God, the glory that he had seen wonderfully enthroned in chapter 1 in his opening vision, now coming to him, handing him a scroll, and telling him to eat that scroll. This scene shows how the prophet was to inwardly digest the words of Yahweh, the words of the Lord, so that he was filled with that word in order that he might then go and speak that word to a rebellious Israel. Ezekiel was not to be his own man, speaking forth his own wisdom. He was to be God's man, captivated by God's word, speaking forth God's wisdom that he had received and inwardly digested. This congruence between the Lord and His messenger continues to be stressed in the vivid action that is discussed in our text, reading from the latter part of Ezekiel 3. There we read that the glory of the Lord, the glory of Yahweh, whom Ezekiel had seen on the chariot throne that had handed him the scroll, now stands before him and says, "Go, shut yourself within your house, and you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you, and you shall be bound with them, so that you cannot go out among the people, and I will make your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be dumb and unable to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house." Now, that's going to some extreme measures to make a very important theological point. Ezekiel would be tied up with cords inside of his house, and his tongue would be stuck with something stronger than crazy glue to the roof of his mouth so that he could not speak. These two actions make it eminently clear to Ezekiel. They were to make it eminently clear to Ezekiel that the Lord didn't want his prophet to be out and about on his own, in his own timetable, with his own message, spouting whatever he felt like. The binding in his house, the silencing of his tongue, were a reminder that when Ezekiel was free, he was to go out and speak, and his going out and speaking were to be at the Lord's directions and with the Lord's words. This is clear from the command that the Lord gives at the end of our text. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord God." He that will hear, let him hear, and he that will refuse, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. There was to be such a profound consistency between the Lord speaking and the speaking of the prophet that the prophet could say, "Thus says the Lord," and then speak in the first person, "I, Yahweh, condemn your sin." The Lord was concerned that his message be delivered as he gave it, both his condemnation of sin as well as his offer of gracious and complete pardon, even though both the condemnation and the gracious forgiveness would often be rejected. When Ezekiel's body and tongue were freed, he was to deliver this message faithfully. Therefore, people who heard Ezekiel would be hearing no one other than Yahweh himself. What does this say to us? As a professor who has taught homiletics on just a few occasions, I must confess that God would make the job of our homiletics professors much easier if he resorted to this old method of tying the body and tongue of future pastors until they are ready and committed to speak forth faithfully God's word. Although the method is not the same, yet the sacred rite of ordination, in that sacred rite, the same glory of the Lord binds us as messengers of the same God, as the same God that bound Ezekiel. When we promise, when we respond to that question, "Do you solemnly promise that all of your teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with the Holy Scriptures?" Like Ezekiel of old, there is to be a congruence between the words of Yahweh, the words of our Lord Jesus, who is the very glory of Yahweh in human flesh, and our words as pastors, our words as his New Testament messengers. We are not to preach what people by nature want to hear, but what God wants them to hear, because he knows what they need to hear as they need to be convicted of their sinful rebellion and need to be pardoned over and over and over and over again by speaking forth of that Christ who shared our human flesh, the glory of God, who took on the image of sinful human beings and took even our sin into his flesh that was crushed on the cross for us and raised in glory for our eternal salvation. This word of God's love and forgiveness in the crucified Christ is to flow again and again from our lips, as well as fill our hands, literally drip from it as we wash and flow from it as we feed people from both the font and the altar. Some of us may be thinking that the clergy of our beloved LCMS is immune to such problems of consistency between the Lord's word and our message from this pulpit. It's noteworthy that some of our laity do see a shift in preaching. In January, I was out visiting my aged, early 80s, aunt and uncle in California, lifelong Lutherans, members of a large Lutheran congregation. And it was interesting how they eased into this question. You know, had a nice dinner, had a very nice conversation about the family, and then towards the end of the evening, my uncle says, you know, you've been teaching at the seminary for a couple of years. Are they teaching pastors how to preach in a different way, you know, these days? And naturally, knowing that that was a loaded question, I rather than responding right away, I said, well, what makes you ask that? And both my aunt and uncle went on for about a half an hour talking about how much they've sensed that their pastors are seeking to entertain people in their sermons. He goes, you know, with one of our pastors, I almost feel like he builds into his sermon the expectancy that there will be a certain number of laughs. And he's very disappointed if, when he comes to his punchline, he doesn't get it. Indeed, what's especially sad is that my aunt and uncle, who will continue to be Lutherans to their dying day, when they get done with the early service, they said, well, what we now do is we go home, we flip on the TV, where we hear this very conservative Baptist minister, and the reason why we flip him on is he preaches very biblical sermons that mention Jesus Christ more than our own pastors. Talk about that convicting me. And it was little comfort, very little comfort, the fact that their two pastors weren't trained at this seminary. Nevertheless, fellow pastors, the glory of the Lord who spoke to Ezekiel is the same Son of God who calls and sends us to be his messengers. He has given us the sacred scrolls of his word to read, to mark, to learn, to inwardly digest, so that we may faithfully speak forth his truthful, his authoritative word that kills and that brings life. As with Ezekiel, he promises us, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.